banking.
Delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.
The Centre for Development and Enterprise says South Africa's fixation on public employment schemes like the Presidential Employment Stimulus offers only short-term relief and diverts attention from the structural reforms needed to create millions of real jobs. In a compelling argument, Anne Bernstein argues the state keeps backing projects that, in her words, will never generate the millions of jobs that South Africa needs, even as more than 12 million people want work and simply can't find it. Anne Bernstein, a very warm welcome to you. Let's start with that core claim then. In plain terms, why do public employment schemes never scale to solve joblessness?
I think that's an important question. Firstly, in public employment schemes are jobs that are created and paid for with state money, you and my taxes. And so there's a real limit on how much you can spend on these jobs, especially in a country with a fiscal crisis. So the one is that, but the second is these are not real jobs. So we're giving somebody something to do, which is better than being unemployed, but they're part-time jobs. They generally last about 78 days, and then you're unemployed again. And so if you're lucky, and they're the exceptions, you might learn some skills on the job, but most of the time, people go and they pick up litter or they get involved in community projects or whatever the public employment is. But this is not really taking you anywhere. So for a country with the scale of unemployment that we have, this is just not the answer.
So,
and we shouldn't spend so much time on it.
So what I'm going to say is not spending so much time on it, but what you're also suggesting is these schemes detract or distract from reform. So are there one or two reforms that would create then faster, larger job gains within a credible timeline?
Look, the most important change that we need in order to create jobs is to get faster growth. And we do have a reform program, but it's not being implemented with the speed or the urgency or the comprehensiveness that we need. So getting South Africa to grow, not at 1.5%, but at 4% is what we've got to aim for, and we've got to fix all the things that hold us back. That's the most important lever to get jobs. But at the same time, we have aspects of our laws and other institutions that hold our economy back from being labor-absorbing. So we've got to make sure that our economy is as labor-absorbing as possible. In order to do that, we have to encourage employers to hire people. And that means that, for example, if you want to hire some young person who's never worked before, we need to make that easy. If it doesn't work out, you need to be able to get rid of that person very quickly. So we're saying we need a different approach to probation, a one-year probation period, where you can really get rid of people for all sorts of reasons that they don't fit the job, you know, except, say, race or gender discrimination, the very basic things. That would make employers more likely to hire more people. And there are other things we should do. But we also need to fix our skills system, which is terrible. And if you think of a bad education system, the skills training system becomes even more important. The CETAs, we can't find anybody who's in favor of the CETAs who doesn't work there. And they're not performing their function. The TVET colleges are also not performing well. They're expensive and they're not producing graduates that employers want. So there are lots of things we could be doing today. At the same time as trying to get more growth, we can fix the environment as fast as possible to make this a more labor-absorbing economy.
Anne Bernstein, let's go back to CETAs very quickly. They've been in the headlines for all the wrong reasons for quite a long time. You say they're dysfunctional, they don't work. Do we need them, or would you replace them with something else to make sure that money isn't wasted?
Look, we certainly need more apprenticeships and more learnerships, but we've got to not create new institutions, which the CETAs were, we must rely on business to do that. They know exactly what they want. They should be hiring private training companies or doing it in-house, and we should incentivize that rather than tax them to fund institutions that were set up to deal with skills shortages but aren't performing. So, yes, there's lots we must do, but we need to think in a different way and spend our money and effort in a different ways to make people as ready for employment as possible. And the best people to decide that and what sort of training's needed are companies themselves.
And the current problem, of course, is politics and not economics that is driving decision on job creation in South Africa. But difficult to separate the two, surely.
Absolutely. And we've thought a lot about that. We're clearly in a stalemate, as you know, Jeremy. And we've suggested what China did, for example. There was a stalemate some 30, 40 years ago. And then Deng decided, well, we're going to start a special economic zone where we will try and bring foreign companies in, which many people didn't want, and see what happens. And it worked phenomenally. We're saying we're in a big deadlock. Why don't we take Kucha, which already has a lot of public money invested, but is essentially bare felt for most of that zone in the Eastern Cape. There's an underutilized port. Let's try and make this an experiment. An experiment where you have different labor rules and a few other things, and we try and get new investment to put money into low-skill manufacturing, because we don't have a highly skilled workforce. So we've got to get more and more and more low-skilled employment opportunities. And so we're saying, let's try an experiment. Just give us that space and let's see if it works. If it doesn't, we'll eat our words. If it does, maybe we can start to build a low-skill manufacturing sector that could employ lots and lots of people.
And I wonder whether your organization has crunched the numbers. If the same money was shifted into the private sector from what was happening right now within the public space, do you know how many more real jobs might be created?
Now, that's a very big question. So we haven't, you know, I'm not sure what you're thinking of exactly. The one area where we have thought about this is the government spends about six billion rand a year in promoting small businesses. And we can see where the money is, but we can't see what impact it has. There are no impact assessments that we can find. And we're saying, gee, you know, creating small businesses or identifying dynamic ones with potential is a really hard thing to do. We should give that money to the private sector. Not that they're perfect, but they have much more expertise in doing this than officials who've probably never run a business or don't know much about what makes for a successful business. So if you took some of that 6 billion every year and said to the private sector, compete for this money, tell us what you'll do. And then in a year's time, you are going to report back in a public way, make this transparent and show us what you've achieved. And let's test. Do we get more value for money and more small businesses growing and employing more people if the private sector sort of allocates the money versus whatever is happening in the public sector, which is clearly not working and which is almost like a sort of black box. We can't find any impact analysis. So that would be one example where we're saying, let's use that money differently.
Anne Bernstein, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much indeed from the Center for Development and Enterprise.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.
Bigger office, more staff.